Pino, if I ever need a PR man, I'll look you up. I didn't know all that information was available, but evidently it is. I appreciate that brief introduction. Let me just say good morning to each and every one of you. Thank you for being here. I'm looking forward, and I speak for my wife also, being with the saints here at Bedford this week. I hope you'll be able to attend as much as you possibly can. There's one sermon I bring with me one of my favorites. And Lord willing, I want to preach that tomorrow night. And the title of that sermon is simply this: When My World Falls Apart. I think it to be just a universal type sermon that we all can relate to, because we all have our own stories of what's going on in our life. And we have to remember that Satan is out to destroy us. And he'll use any means necessary to do just that. So I guess I'm plugging that sermon tomorrow night. If you can make it back, please come back here. I truly believe that you'll be encouraged by that sermon. Well, that brings me to this morning's sermon about encouragement. That we all need to be encouraged. That we all need to exhort one another in every way that we possibly can. If you will, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Hebrews, the third chapter. Hebrews chapter 3 is where we'll take our text from this morning. And I want to read verses 12, 13, and 14. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12, 13, and 14. Verse 12, it reads, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day by day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end." I believe that we all like to be encouraged, but we are also commanded to reciprocate that encouragement. That is, to pass it around, to give it back. And let me get up here. Dave, can I push this screen up a little bit? Yeah, thank you. And that's what I want to talk about, the power of encouragement this morning, the need for it, as well as the benefit of it. And here's our text again, Hebrews chapter 3, 12 through 14. I want to say this about the text, is W.E. Vine in his definition of New Testament words breaks down the word exhortation or encouragement. They're both kind of like first cousins. They're very similar. But it simply means this: para, to the side; kaleo, to call. In other words, to call to the side. That's where we get our English word paralegal, where an attorney would have a paralegal to call them to their side and take the notes and etc. And sometimes that's what you and I need to do with one another. Because if we have the love for one another that we ought to have for one another, there may be times when we have to call one another to the side and share our love and concern and encourage one another. Well, this passage, I think, is just a splendid example of New Testament commands as we looked at it. You know, verse 12, take care. It's always good to take care. Verse 13 says, but exhort. And then verse 14, it reminds us to hold fast to the end. The second command, but exhort, really empowers us to keep the other two commands. I guess the question we need to ask is, just how serious are we about following this text of Hebrews chapter 3, 12 through 14? Let me talk to you about some reasons to give exhortation. reasons to give encouragement to one another. Well, we read there in Hebrews chapter 3 at verse 13, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." So listen, that's verse 12, but verse 13, "But exhort one another daily." So God commands us to exhort one another daily. Let's call a time out right now. Are we practicing that command? Are we exhorting one another daily? Brother David made the announcements there and mentioned a member or two here at Bedford who certainly needs some encouragement, it sounds like. Every congregation has members who need encouragement and exhortation, all right? So it's a command. But listen to how Moses said it way back in Deuteronomy chapter 6 there at verse number 24. Deuteronomy chapter 6 at verse number 24. I believe that might be the last verse. No, the second last verse. "And the Lord commanded," there's that command, "and the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is to this day." So that's why we give exhortation, because God commanded it. That seems quite simple on how to do that. Well, let me ask, when was the last time you, when was the last time I, all right, exhorted someone to be more faithful to God by the choice of our words, by our lifestyle? When was the last time we did that? You may remember, if I can go back here again to the definition. Look at it in the bold print. Basically speaking, encouragement / exhortation is to pursue a course of conduct for good. We have each other's best interest at heart, if you will. Well, God, listen, God isn't just simply commanding us to simply help someone through a difficult day, like, "Hey, Andy, don't worry about it too much. Tomorrow's another day." Just kind of, you know, saying it like that without any true meaning really behind it. No, God is commanding to urge one another to pursue a course of conduct for good, where God would be well pleased. And let me say this about encouragement. Discussing the wonderful teachings of God and warning those who are wandering away from God, that's just not pulpit talk. That's just not the preacher's job. That's just not the elder's job. One another's job is who it is. Just think if collectively we were all doing that. Well, think about this. Can we all say something that would help someone live a more faithful journey with God? Now, if we stop and think, yeah, we can do something. You know, if you have to go through your local directory, go through your local directory. If you have to scribble a note from the announcements, scribble a note. You have a bulletin, I believe, with those who need encouragement. So let's do that. God commands it. Secondly, I want to suggest to you that we can develop from the text in verse 12 and 13 that if we're not encouraging one another daily, look what can happen. We can develop an evil, unbelieving, hardened heart. Hey, listen, it's easy. You know that phrase we use, out of sight, out of mind? Yeah, when we're not active encouraging one another, we'll soon forget to. You see, and so we'll just kind of zero in on self, you know, and forget about others. Well, this is a preventive measure that if we're not encouraging one another, this is what can happen. You see, we're talking about a heart that is no longer receptive to God's word, a heart that is departing from the living God. Hey, you've known people in the church in the past, perhaps presently, as we have at Inglewood, who have departed from the living God. Now, why did they depart from the living God? Well, chances are somewhere along the line, they weren't being exhorted. They weren't giving any encouragement. Out of sight, out of mind. That's a dangerous indicator, brothers and sisters. You see, exhortations are designed to warn a person about the danger they're in. Let's take that brother in Galatians chapter 6 at verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 at verse 1. As Paul writes to the saints there at Galatia, in this last chapter, here is what he's writing. He's concerned. He's telling those saints at the church in Galatia here, you know, brethren, if anyone be overtaken and in a trespass. You see that? Now, did you notice the first word, brethren? Not preacher, not elders, not deacons. Brethren, it's an inclusive term. Brethren, if anyone be overtaken and in a trespass, you who are spiritual. He didn't say you who are sinless. He said those of you who are trying to walk in the light, think about that, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, if you do what verse 1 says, watch what happens at verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. This fellow in verse 1 has got a burden. And so fulfill the law of Christ. You see, Christ is the great burden bearer, is he not? So when you go back to verse 1 and you look at that term, restore such a one, encourage such a one, exhort such a one. In fact, the original word there, restore, in the original language of the Greek is simply this. Listen, it's an orthopedic term. It simply means to set back in place. You break your arm. You break an elbow. You go to the orthopedic surgeon. The orthopedic surgeon does what? He sets it back in place. Well, that's the idea in Galatians 6:1 that we're to have toward our brothers and toward our sisters when they are given in a trespass. Listen, folks, that once happened. This developing an evil, unbelieving heart once happened to an entire nation of people. Are you still in Hebrews chapter 12? Read with me at verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Remember that? In the days of trial in the wilderness, you remember that? Where your fathers tested me, where they tried me. They saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry. Do you hear God speaking? I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Point number two, if we're not careful, by eliminating point number one, we can eventually develop an evil, unbelieving, hardened heart and miss out God's eternal rest for us. A third reason that we should encourage one another is because verse 13 of our text reminds us that sin is deceitful. Hey, again, verse 13. But exhort one another daily, what is called day, today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Is sin deceitful? Oh my. Oh, we could preach on and on this morning about sin being deceitful. But this is what sin does. It deceives. You see, sin promises pleasure, but it delivers misery. We can't sometimes see beyond the sin. I would think that we would sin less and less if when we are tempted to sin, if we would call that time out in our lives and say, now, wait a minute. If I give in to this temptation, now understand that temptation is not a sin. Jesus was tempted, right? So temptation is not a sin. But if I give in to temptation, if I would just call that time out and say this, well, where will this take me? What will be the consequences of this sin if I give in to this temptation? If we would take time out and think about that, I truly believe we would be sinning less and less. But too often, we give in to the temptation. Well, listen. Yes, it promises pleasure, but it delivers misery. And in essence, it delivers an eternal separation from God unless we repent of that sin. In your Bibles, in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, Isaiah says the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot help, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But verse 2 says, but your sins and your iniquities have separated you from you and your God. Yeah. So again, there's a warning that sin is deceitful. The person who will habitually sin and commit sin is deceived by sin. Here's what we're saying. This person doesn't believe that the end result of his sins can be that bad. They've convinced themselves. They have become desensitized, if you will, to the power of sin and what sin can do. That's the deception. This person believes that he can enjoy the pleasures of sin without reaping the horrible consequences of sin. That person is not reading Galatians 6 at verse 7. Galatians 6 at verse 7, the first three words says, be not deceived. That's what we're talking about. Paul goes on and says, God is not mocked. You see, when we buy into deception, we're mocking God. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you don't want to be guilty of mocking God now. Listen. Yeah, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever one sows, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Again, as we studied this morning in our class, creatures of choice, aren't we? God gives us the power of choice. But oh, what a lie we tell ourselves when we deceive ourselves. What about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9? To the saints at Corinth, what did Paul say there? You remember there? He lists this whole category of sins. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 there at verse number 9. Paul writes there and he says this. I thought I had that one wrote down, but I don't. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 9, he starts off with a question. Do you not know? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Did you hear that? There's the question. Now, what's the next three words? Be not deceived. So there's a warning to the church at Corinth, just like there was a warning to the church at Galatia. Do not be deceived. So knowing, listen, and the longer this person is deceived by that lie, the harder his heart becomes and the less likely he is to allow his life to be directed by God. That's what deception does. That's where deception takes us eventually at the end of the day. Yeah. So knowing this fact is one reason why Christians must exhort one another daily. God commands it. We can develop an evil, unbelieving heart. And thirdly, sin. Well, sin is just deceitful. Listen, we're all capable of being deceived if we are not vigilant, if we are not on guard. 1 Peter 5 at verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Why, Peter? Why be sober-minded? Why be vigilant? Why be on guard, Peter? Hey, Peter, why have the radar on, Peter? Well, keep reading. For your adversary, your opponent, your enemy, the one who hates you more than anyone, the devil, walks about like a what? Roaring lion. For what purpose? Seeking whom he may devour. So the devil's after us, you see. Now notice verse 9. him. Him who? Him of verse 8, the devil. Him resist, how, Peter? Steadfast in the faith. That's how you resist the devil. It kind of corresponds with James chapter 4 at verse 7. Therefore, submit yourself unto God. Understand the word submit. Be under God and God's rule and God's teaching. Therefore, submit yourself unto God. Watch this. Resist the devil, and what will happen? The devil will flee from you. Now, that doesn't mean he's not coming back, right? Oh, he'll come back. Yeah. But the more we resist the devil, guess what? The less trouble we have out of him. Does that make sense? That makes perfect sense, really. Think about that. The deceptive nature of sin is the third reason that we must exhort one another as often as possible. Okay, so there's 3 points about, you know, how we deal with this, okay? How we need to encourage one another. Let's move on to the second part of our lesson, all right? And notice the benefit of exhortation, okay? You know, there must be a lot of benefit from the practice of exhortation in the New Testament, and you may say, why? Because there's about 34 verses throughout the New Testament encouraging the benefit of exhortation and encouragement. Now, we don't need to read all 34 verses, but just let me give you a few this morning, okay? Just a few. How about Acts 2 at verse 40? Remember the great day of Pentecost? Yeah, that great day of Pentecost. And so Peter's up preaching to the Jews. This is all part of the prophecy of the word of the Lord, you know, coming forth from Jerusalem, from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 5 there. But Peter says this, and with many other words did he exhort and testify, saying unto them, what? Be saved from this crooked or perverse generation. Many other words. What do you mean, many other words? Well, if you remember, Peter's sermon was interrupted back in verse 37. Because when Peter said what he said at verse 36, that prompt them to say at verse 37, when they heard this, they asked men and brethren, what shall we do? See, they interrupted Peter's sermon. Acts 2, 36 there. You know, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, the Bible says they were cut to the heart and asked men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter says this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you, to your children, to all those who are far off, even whom the Lord thy God shall call. Verse 40, and with many other words did he exhort and testify, saying, save yourselves from this perverse or crooked generation. He exhorted them to change their life. If you look at verse 41, they took his advice. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. Go back to verse 38. Repent and be baptized. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. And that day the Lord added to the church about 3,000 souls. All right, let's move on to So Peter's encouraging his audience to do what? Remember the definition? To pursue a course of conduct for good. That's what he's saying there at verse 40. To be saved from this crooked generation. Okay. Well, there's a hiccup. Okay. Anyway, let's move on to the next one. How about Acts 11:23? You want benefits of exhortation? Let's look at this one. When Barnabas came and had seen the grace of God, Barnabas was glad and he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Is that encouragement? That's encouragement. Hey, you keep on keeping on in the Lord. Listen, there's benefits to that. And it's not by coincidence that the name Barnabas means just that, son of encouragement or son of consolation, one who consoles, one who's concerned about your spiritual welfare. Acts 14:22. Look what Paul's doing. Look how consistent this thread just continues to go on. Acts 14 at verse 22. Paul strengthening the souls of the disciples. How? Exhorting them to continue in the faith. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we have to do that. Yes, we are our brothers and sisters keeper in the Lord. To exhort them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter into the kingdom of God. It's not an easy ride to come in to the kingdom of God. Listen, there's obstacles that we're going to have to overcome. Jesus said, I've not come, you know, to send peace. I've come to send a sword. Listen, you may have to even divide your family up. But who are you going to choose, me or family? Listen, Jesus saying, it was me who went to the cross for you. It wasn't your family. Your family may love you, yes, but I love you more, and I've got more to offer than even your family has to offer. Sometimes there's a phrase we use out in society, that blood is thicker than water. I suggest to you, brothers and sisters, let's take it up a notch. Sometimes blood is thicker than Scripture. Now you chew on that one for a minute. Yeah. Got a sermon coming up in Englewood. When the prodigal is your prodigal. Who are we going to listen to? You see. So, but here we are. Here's what Paul's saying. So what's Paul? He's pursuing them to do what? He's pursuing them to pursue a course of conduct for good. Yeah. Yeah, to pursue a course of conduct for good. I hope we're seeing the benefits of encouragement. How important it really is in our life. How it ought to be, think about it, how it ought to be just a part of our daily walk. Let's go on to another verse. I said there's 34. We're not doing all 34. Trust me, we're not. We're down to our last two. But listen, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in the first three verses, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort. We urge and encourage in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. Oh, what encouragement, Paul, that you're giving here. Just as you received from us how you ought to walk to please God. Is that encouragement? That's encouragement. That's a benefit of encouragement. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God. What is the will of God, Paul? Your sanctification. Your separateness. Listen, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Should we encourage and exhort brothers and sisters, and he's writing to Christians here, that are guilty of fornication? Or do we just tolerate it like Corinth was doing in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? They were getting puffed up about it. Had a fornicating brother in the church, and nobody was doing any exhortation. Nobody was doing any encouragement. No discipline. Yeah. Well, we know how that ended up, don't we? All right. So, here's some of those benefits again. To be saved, to continue with the Lord, to enter the kingdom of God, to urge a life that pleases God, to strengthen us in times of spiritual weakness. I say again to the saints here at Bedford, you need this lesson. Every church that I preach at needs this lesson. There's about 30 different churches on this closing sheet where I've preached this sermon. Because every church needs it, needs to be reminded. I'm not saying it makes you a bad church. I'm just saying we need to be reminded. To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen. We all need to be encouraged. We all need to give encouragement. If I was to say this, just raise your hand here this morning, saints, if you never need any encouragement. Look at the hands. Wow. That's what I thought. Now, again, you know, that's just the case in point here. I know that we all get a little discouraged by the challenges we face each day, and that's what tomorrow's sermon, again, is going to really kind of zero in on. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we all experience a feeling of being spiritually weak at times. We may be tempted not to resist a certain temptation, whatever temptation it may be coming your way. Again, we know what I'm talking about. But let's get a little bit more closer to home here, to Bedford. Someone here this morning might be saying, you know, what's the use of trying to live a life as a Christian? I never have any contact with anyone. No one's ever, you know, stopping by to visit. No one's never texting, you know. No one's ever ringing me up. I mean, really, what's the use? You know, I'm too weak and the devil's too strong. You ever been there? Yeah, it happens that way sometimes. But, and I say but, if we have someone exhorting us, someone encouraging us, someone coaching us, we are more likely to overcome our moments of weakness and focus our mind more on the Almighty God who has promised. I said promise, according to Hebrews 13:5, never to leave us nor forsake us. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe God will never leave you nor forsake you? Let that resonate just for a second here. Sometimes this type of person that we've been describing, I don't want to say it, may be feeling this way. Nobody cares. All right? Nobody's calling. I just feel so disconnected from God. I feel that God is just so, so far away. Maybe you felt like that before. Whenever you feel that way, you ask yourself this question. Who moved? Now, the Word of God just said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. So let's bring a little bit closer to home. Who moved? You know, we've got a tendency here. At Englewood, you've got a tendency here at Bedford. You all come through the front door. And usually the first sign of a greeting is, how you doing? And good to see you. Did you see that game last night? Can you believe it? You know, things like that. And that's a typical type greeting. Or how you doing, you know. You may inquire about their health. I know I brought someone with me this morning. His name's Arthur. Arthur. He's right here. You know, he's always with me for some reason, okay? But nevertheless, we ask one another how we're doing. But wait a minute. Can I use you for a minute, David? Watch this. David, how you doing spiritually? Uh-oh. See, that changes the course, obviously, of the conversation. Because we may not be expecting that kind of greeting. And yet you may be on the receiving end. Oh, this is just what I've been wanting. This is what I need. Thank you for asking. Can we set up a time to get together? I've got so much to share. See, a lot of times we just hold it in, don't we? We don't want others maybe to know what's going on in my life. So we put on the happy face at church, you know. And watch this, church. If we're not careful, we'll tell a lie. Someone will ask you, how you doing? Good. How you're not doing good, and you know you're not doing good. We got to be careful about that. And this is where encouragement comes in. If they start pouring their heart out to you and say, if you only knew, well, listen, I want to know. You tell me. Let's get together. Let's encourage one another. I said something about the benefits of encouragement. Do you see the benefits of encouragement? They're there. We've just got to utilize those benefits. And so may we begin today. May we begin today, start to encourage one another, to pursue a course of conduct for good. Now, watch what happens if we fail to encourage. And the lesson will be yours to do with as you so choose. All right? If I can find it. Yeah. There's the lesson for us. Again, this was seen in Israel's failure. You remember what we read there in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, about the wilderness wanderings? All right? Remember again at verse 12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That's exactly what happened to Israel in the wilderness. Now notice what happens at verse 16. Notice the series of questions that the writer asks. For who, having heard, rebelled? There's the question. Listen to him answer the question. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? That's who rebelled. Look at verse 17. Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Who was God angry with 40 years? There's the question. Here's the answer. Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Third question. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? Here's the answer. But to those who did not obey. Now listen to verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. God had told them to encourage one another. God had told them to pursue a course of conduct to help one another, and they didn't do it. And there was the end result. 603,550 men dropped in the wilderness because they were not encouraging and exhorting one another daily. I suggest to you here at Bedford, Saints, that if you do not pursue this course of conduct for good, the future of this church, could be in trouble. And listen, I'm not picking on Bedford. Don't think, well, Dave, where'd you hire that guy at? You know, sounds to me like he's beating us down. I'm not beating you down. This word of God is warning you, warning us all who are Christians to exhort and encourage one another. If you're here this morning and maybe you're outside the body of Christ, you've never obeyed the gospel. Let me tell you something about that. You stand in danger of hellfire. What do you mean? Well, the Bible says if you don't obey the gospel, you're going to suffer the wrath of God. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9. All right. So if you've not partaken of the blood of Jesus and taken advantage because he died for your sins, you need to give that your most serious consideration ASAP if you have obeyed the gospel. And as a child of God, you've just severed the relationship, the fellowship that you once had with God by choosing another lifestyle, by not putting God first in your life, etc., etc., etc. If you need to make any changes in your spiritual life, you're offered that opportunity as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.